None of us like to be lied to. I don't like it, and I'm sure you don't like it either. We prefer the truth, even when it may be unpleasant. It's disturbing to hear your doctor tell you that you have cancer, but it's even worse if to have cancer and have the doctor tell you that you're healthy. It's far better to be troubled with a painful truth than to be consoled with a pleasant lie. If your child's teacher should call and report that he or she is failing in school, now that would be disturbing. It's the kind of call that all parents would rather not have. But if your child is failing in school and the teacher lets you think all is well, that would be even more disturbing. It's better to be troubled by a painful truth than be consoled with a pleasant lie. Most of us would agree with that most of the time. But there is probably one noticeable exception, and that is when the kind of truth that is not only we don't want to hear, we don't want even to discuss. So our preference is just to leave it alone, let it lie there, and pay no attention. Now, I have a friend who has a t-shirt that says, "My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts." He wears it in jest, but that's how a lot of us feel about some truths when they hit close to home. We simply don't want to deal with it. Our Lord Jesus encountered this kind of attitude at his hometown of Nazareth. He had gone there for a visit in the early days of his ministry. He went to the synagogue there, and not surprisingly, he ended up being the teacher of the day. And his teaching was well received, for the most part, the gospel says all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the words that came from his mouth. That mood didn't last long. Very soon it turned from admiration to irritation and then to outright hostility. The change came when Jesus touched on a truth that no one wanted to hear. Now, his words don't seem that offensive to us today. After all he was recalling two incidents that in Jewish history. One was with the life of Elijah the prophet. A terrible drought was on the land, and people were on the verge of starvation, and especially widows and orphans. And God sent his prophet to the aid of only one widow, and she was a Gentile. But God sent his... The other story is another one taken from the life of Elisha the prophet. Now, leprosy was widespread in the land, and God used his prophet to heal only one leper, and he was a Gentile. Jesus simply was pointing out these two facts of history. But that was enough to outrage his audience because it contradicted their established way of thinking. Let me tell you what really offended them so much. They had always thought themselves as God's favorites. After all, they were called the chosen people. So he certainly preferred them over and above all other nations. They really believed that. The idea was, from their parents and grandparents believed that, and they handed that idea down from generation to generation. No one questioned it. And then Jesus comes along and dares to suggest that this idea might not be true. It offended them very deeply to think that God would care for pagans as much as he cared for them. Now, as Christians, and especially as Catholics, we may fall into that same mindset that we are the new chosen people and think that we're superior to everyone else. If anyone tries to tell us otherwise, we don't want to hear it. If we were present with something that refutes our thinking, chances are we'd ignore it or maybe even become angry. We don't like our long-held beliefs to be challenged. We're like my friend's t-shirt. My mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. But there's something worse than that, and that is when we resent truth that requires us to change. Not the way we think, but the way we act. You can be sure that is what Jesus was after. His purpose was not just to introduce interesting ideas. He did that at times, and he baffled people with his skills as a thinker. And he could have done that here in today's gospel. These two bits of history had the makings of a lively discussion. Someone in the audience might have said, "Well, that's an interesting idea. I never noticed that before. I wonder why God sent Elijah to a Gentile instead of to a Jewish widow." My, how very interesting. We must discuss that someday. But of course, that's not what happened. The people knew what they were faced with. Not the topic for debate, but for a call for change. If it is really true that God cares for the Gentiles, then it was incumbent upon them to do the same. And that was the one thing the Jewish people had no desire to do. The synagogue service was an expression of that old adage, "If you don't like the messenger, shoot the messenger." And I wonder how much different we are really from them. Truth calls for change that is the most unwelcome kind. We'd rather deal with almost anything else. But if we're going to do business with Jesus Christ, well, we might as well get used to it. He rarely deals with any other kind of truth. All his stories and all his teachings are appeals for change. Everything that Jesus said and did is a call to action. We may not like the truth that requires change in us. We may like the truth that we need to be much more like what St. Paul was talking about in today's second reading, more patient and kind, less jealous and rude, less quick-tempered and thin-skinned, more faithful, more hopeful, and more loving. But there's nothing we need more to hear the fact that we need to do that. Someone once said that Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. When we listen to God's words and when we start to feel a little uneasy, that's good. It means that we've heard what he has to say. Now the next step is to ask God for the grace to do something about it. Now here are a few questions for you to ponder or discuss around the dinner table. Where are the areas that we tend to be more protective and guarded? Why do we find it so hard to change some established pattern of behavior? Where do we find the gospel of Jesus bringing us comfort or causing us affliction?